This morning I invite you to hear the word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 24. Let our hearts be prepared to be changed by the words that we hear from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What we find this morning as we read this from the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus has just returned from his 40 days of being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Satan had thrown all the tricks at him that he could throw at him, trying to get him to budge, trying to get him to break away from his disciplined life. But as he's coming off of this period of temptation, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he's now preaching his first public sermon since that period of temptation, and he's sharing words from the scroll of Isaiah. And what he's doing is he's reinforcing to all who listen that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, that he has been anointed, and that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and that he has been anointed or commissioned or directed to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim the release of the captives, and to cause the recovery of the sight to the blind, and also to let the oppressed go free, to set them free from what their oppression is, while at the same time proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. So basically what we see is that his mission, his ministry, is being outlined. He provides a very general summary of what that ministry is to be about. And the way we see it summarized is that he is supposed to share the good news. He's supposed to cause freedom for the people who are bound to sin, and cause that freedom, the freeing of the captives. He is to help others see the truth. He's to reach out to the least. In other words, the least of society, the people that the rest of the world has forgotten. That's what he's there to do, is to serve them and to help them and to cause others to help them. But most importantly, he is there to glorify God. And those that had heard what he said were amazed, because here's this man whom they knew, and they were amazed at his words and the way that they flowed from his mouth. You would almost say that he was an impressive speaker, and that they were kind of startled at the way these words came out of his mouth, because many of them had known this man as he was growing up. And as such, they doubted what he was saying. They had some doubts in their hearts, because here he was, back in his home area, back in a place where some people knew him, where he had simply been known as the son of Joseph, where he had been known as a carpenter, where he had been known as this man. We see this doubt creeping into the minds of these people, because really he was one of them. He was one of them. And he grew up in that area. He was from that area. And they probably knew the places in his life as he was growing up where maybe he had not been as eloquent a speaker, or may have not appeared as he did at this time. And keep in mind, I mean, I say this, but keep in mind, when we read the scripture, we see little about Jesus from the time that he spoke in the synagogue at the age of 12 till the time he started his ministry, about the age of 30. So we don't know what it is that these people had the opportunity to see, what it is that Jesus was doing as he was growing. But what we do know is he is now back in his home area and he's speaking. And I want you to think about that just for a minute, because Jesus is being rejected by the people who are listening. Think about it just for a minute. There's a similarity in what we hear in this passage to maybe a preacher preaching his home church where he grew up in. Maybe if I were the appointed pastor in the church that I was raised up in, people are going to look at me and say, well, I never would have figured he would have been a preacher. And how can I listen to him, because I remember when he was 18 years old, he did this, and so I'm not so sure who is he to stand up there in front of me and tell me these things, because I know he's done it too. Or maybe it's like that Sunday school teacher that you work with all week, or that you're around all week, and then they've got a word to offer you on Sunday, and you're thinking, well, you know what? What I'm hearing today is not necessarily what I saw this week while we were working together. Because generally the idea of knowing somebody a little bit too well sometimes gives us some difficulty in terms of understanding the role that they now serve in. And please understand, I am not saying that Jesus Christ was anything less than perfect, because he was that perfect man. And he was sent, created by a perfect God, and we know that. But even as such, that familiarity of being around somebody while they're growing up sometimes is hard to take in. Imagine someone in your family or a close friend of yours is suddenly your supervisor at work. Sometimes there can be some challenges in accepting that new role. Or maybe in your life, maybe you grew up with a crowd of people that were not always known for doing the right thing. Or maybe they were known to be a little bit mischievous, some of the folks that you hung out with. And now you've accepted Christ in your heart. And you've had a major change of direction in your life. And now the things that you say, the things that you do are different than what they said and what they would say. And they look at you and say, but I remember, and now they're calling you a holy roller and everything else because you're different than what they are. But brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to be. We're called to be different. We're called to be part of something bigger than is of this world. And we know that we're going to be rejected. I mean, they rejected Jesus Christ. So we know that we're going to be rejected. And Jesus tells us about it. There is no prophet that is accepted in their hometown. In my job as a paramedic and some of the teaching that I do, one of the things that I quickly came to realize is that you've got to go about 30 miles before you're considered an expert. Because the people you work with will never consider you an expert. But if you go about 30 miles, somebody will consider you a subject matter expert. And they're going to listen to what you've got to say. So if I've got something important to share, I bring in somebody else that they don't know and they listen. That's the way that it works. But this is where we got to make it personal. People are going to reject us. People are going to reject us as Christians, but this is where we have to make it personal. We see what the work of Jesus was to be as he shares in the gospel this morning. That gospel speaks to us. We see what his ministry is that is being revealed. And he summarizes what that is. And notice that despite the fact that he knows he's going to be rejected, he still goes and he still preaches. He still speaks. Even though the people are going to say, you know, I'm not listening to this man, he still does it. And he is persistent in sharing that word because the people need to hear. The ministry of the gospel, brothers and sisters, was left with us. We were commissioned and have been commissioned to go out, make disciples in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that they may be baptized and that they may receive the Holy Spirit in their heart. We've been commissioned to go out to love God, to love our neighbor, to serve them, and to be this different kind of people, because we too have that Spirit of the Lord in our hearts. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon all of us as the church was put into motion. And they went out, and the church grew. People heard. People changed. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts. And we too have been anointed to do certain things. We're supposed to bring good news to those who have yet to hear. We're supposed to offer people a choice in turning away from sin, that there's something bigger than the sin or the desires they have in this world, that they would look to Jesus Christ as the answer rather than their own merits. We're supposed to reach out to those whom the world has forgot, to reach out to the oppressed, the ones that are oppressed by violence or lack of equality. We're supposed to reach out to those that are hungry, those that don't have houses. We're supposed to reach out to those that everybody else has forgotten. And we're supposed to glorify God in all that we do. And essentially, we are charged with making a difference. As the rejected, being much like Jesus Christ, from a standpoint of being rejected, we are to be different. And we are to be that place and that people of change. This past month, I had my course of study classes for the ministry up at Duke. And one of the books that I was required to read probably ended up being one of the best books that I've ever read. It's called Resident Aliens, and it was by Stanley Hauerwas and Will Willimon. And the surface of the book makes you think that it's about something totally different than what the book is. It has nothing to do with immigration, has nothing to do with foreign people, or nothing to do with anything out of this world. But it has everything to do about what the church is. And in their book, Resident Aliens, Hauerwas and Willimon indicate that Christianity is more than just a new understanding. It's not about just understanding the Word of God in a different way. It's not about understanding how we're supposed to be good people or better people in a different way. Christianity is an invitation to be part of an alien, countercultural people. Think about it. It's an invitation to be part of an alien, countercultural people. In other words, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different in the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we carry out our mission, and the way that we're obedient. They also state that the church is the most significant ethical unit in the world, and they make any Christian position credible, Christian ethical position credible. So what do those two statements mean to us? Well, what it means to us is that we are a different people. That Christianity essentially is a colony of people being different than the world rather than being blending in into society. You want people to say, well, that's a Christian. That person's not like us. That person sees a little bit differently. Not at the expense of creating a boundary or an obstacle, but we want people to know that we are different. If they can't pick you out as a Christian by the way that you live or by the activities that you participate in, then we're not part of that alien counterculture. Then we have just blended in because we didn't want to make any waves. We didn't want to step on anybody's toes. We didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But we are to be different. We're not to blend into society. The way that we're different is we're faithful in our living in a place where others may not fully understand us. We're faithful in our living in a place where people may reject us. We invite people to church when it's not the popular thing to do. We tell people we're going to pray for you when it's not the popular thing to do. We tell people that we love them even though they have hurt us or done wrong against us, even if it's not the easy thing to do. That's what it means to be part of this alien, countercultural people living in a colony serving our God. It is our faithfulness in our mission, our faithfulness in our service, and our faithfulness in our love that defines who we are. As Christians, as the church, as the body of Christ, we must be aware of the boundaries and the borders of the church. These church walls are not here to keep us sheltered from what's out there. These church walls are not here to keep people out, nor are these walls meant to keep people in. The church is something that is in motion. The church is an action. The church is a place of doing. This alien counterculture that I mentioned, the church, is a place where people are formed and they're nurtured, as well as a place where we relate to people beyond our boundaries, beyond those places we feel comfortable, to those people and those places that is different than we are. But we must be careful not to create barriers in the way that we carry out our mission of teaching, because we're teaching something that runs contrary to what a lot of people in this world actually believe. If you don't believe me, whenever we did our recent analysis of who our community is, it was like 21% of the people within a 5-mile radius of this church said it was important to come to church on Sundays. 21% of the people within 5 miles of this church said it was important to come to church on Sundays. Now about 40% of them, 40 to 45%, said that they considered faith to be an important part of who they were, but only about 21% said they thought it was important to go to church. So we're teaching and sharing something that is different than what may be popular, and we're going to be rejected. But that's who we are. As a body of Christ, as Christians, we must take the posture and the mission of the church personal. Because church does not happen with complacency. Church does not happen just because we show up. And church doesn't exist because somebody else is going to take care of it. At class this last month, we were told that the laity and the pastors alike must be challenged in their roles of making disciples for Christ. That we must be challenged and step out of those places where we feel comfortable. And they also said that one of the tricks, I won't say tricks, but one of the ways in which people come to develop a greater understanding is almost like that old Trojan horse ruse that was used. Preaching and worship is what gets people in here. But once people get in here, the message is plain and the message is clear that a life with Christ is the only way. So what I say to you this morning is, let us make it personal in inviting other people to come to church. Let us invite them. Let us bring them. Because I want you to look around right now with where we are. We've got a good attendance this morning. But if we don't continue to make it personal and invite others to experience Jesus Christ, or invite others to come be in this church with us, then where will we be in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years? We've got to take it personal. Make it personal in preaching the word in the face of rejection. Let us resist the temptation of the easy way. And let us be this colony of Christians in a strange place, making a difference. And for this, we give praise to our amazing God. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 526. I invite you to stand together. And as we hear these words, if there are those among us that have some burden they'd like to leave at the altar, some renewal they'd like to make, or if you've not yet received Christ, then I invite you to come forward and to be at this altar and let the Holy Spirit work within you.